piece of paper, a mini egg, and then tell us what your name is.
Anna.
Anna, thank you very much. You can go sit back down. I'll read out the final one. Here we go. Oh, this is a good one. In fact, Tim, could you read this one for us?
Peter is going to eat the rest of the chocolate mini eggs.
And we don't need to vote on that one because it's certain. So, No. I'll tell you what, it would have been possible, I guess, but I'm not going to. So, on that measure, it's impossible. Those eggs are for the little ones later on. Now, why did certain, impossible, possible? Well, because today we're going to think about something that Jesus' closest friends thought was impossible. But actually, Jesus wants to tell them that it was certain. They thought it was impossible. If you've got your Bible open, then could you turn to page 1067? It's a little bit after the readings that we had read. But it's those verses up on the screen, Luke 24:45-46. And it's Jesus. It's talking about Jesus after he's died and risen again, and he's with his disciples, and he's telling them something. Look at verse 45. Then he, that's Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And as the title says on the screen, we're thinking about that phrase, the Christ should suffer. The disciples thought that that was impossible. That was nonsense. To them, you see, Christ meant, as it does, king. And not just any king, but God's king. And they thought, it's nonsense, the idea that God's king should go through suffering. The day when God's king arrives to take up his kingdom would be a day of victory, of partying for God's people, and a day of salvation. A day when he'd win, and his enemies would bite the dust. If there was suffering, the disciples thought it would be for all those who wouldn't bow the knee to this king. But the Christ, the king, would he suffer? No way. That's why, when it happened, as we were reading in our readings a few moments ago, when it happened, they couldn't believe it. They were absolutely gobsmacked. They couldn't believe it. When Jesus was arrested and whipped and beaten and mocked and stripped and then put through a phony trial for things he hadn't done, and then he was nailed to a cross and left to die with two common criminals, they couldn't believe it. They thought, it's impossible if he's the Christ. But here in our passage, Jesus is there himself. He's risen again, and he wants to let them know, no, what you thought was impossible was certain. It had to happen. What you thought was impossible was really certain. I had to suffer. Well, why? I want us to think about just two really simple reasons, but they're dead important for all of us as we think about Jesus' death on Good Friday. Two reasons, and the first is this. Christ had to suffer because it was God's plan. Listen to what our reading says again. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's the Bible. And said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer. He's saying, look, hundreds of years before I came, God had said it was going to happen. God said it was going to happen and said it was his plan. Even before Jesus was born. The Christ, the chosen King of God, would suffer. And if it's planned by God, then it's definitely going to happen. It's certain. So please don't feel sorry for Jesus. Every year we think about the cross, don't we? And especially on Good Friday, and we think about the terrible suffering and death that Jesus went through. We know he didn't deserve any of it. We know it was an example of real injustice and cruelty. And we go, that's not fair. But you know what? Don't feel sorry for Jesus. Please don't feel sorry for him. It was all God's plan and he knew it. He went to that cross willingly and voluntarily. Because he knew it was God's plan. Christ had to suffer. And even though the people who did it, well, they were wicked, weren't they? and somehow in a mysterious way they could do something wicked, and yet somehow it was still God's plan. The cross wasn't an accident. It wasn't a big mistake. It wasn't even just an example of something that's not fair and that's cruel, although it was that. It was God's plan. It was written that the Christ should suffer. And that makes us think, well, why? How can this be God's plan? How can this be the good God's good plan? How can this be Good Friday? Doesn't he love his son? Doesn't he want his son to be the king over an everlasting kingdom? How can it be his plan for the Christ to suffer? That brings us to our second reason why he had to suffer. Christ had to suffer to save us. Now, to see this, I want up on the screen one of the verses that I think Jesus would have read to them from the scriptures, from the Old Testament half of the Bible, to say to them, look, it had to happen, the Christ had to suffer. As he was explaining to his friends who thought it was impossible, that it was really certain, I think this was one of the verses that he would have reminded them of. And it's up there on the screen, hopefully, Isaiah 53. Verse 5, and it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Why was it God's plan? Why did God allow Christ to go through terrible suffering? Well, he did it for us. For our, as it says there, transgressions and iniquities. Now, they're big words, aren't they? Let me explain them a bit. Transgressions, that's when there's a line and you step over the line. And you shouldn't. There's a boundary and you go beyond the boundary. There's a line. On one side is what God wants us to do, and on the other side is what God doesn't want us to do, and we just step over the line as if it was never there. That's transgression. It's like stepping onto somebody's land that isn't your own and you're not supposed to be there. Or it's like breaking into someone else's house. You go over a boundary that you're not meant to go over. Another word there, he died for our iniquities. Now that's to do with being twisted. You know, like one of those shopping trolleys? I don't know if this is your experience in the supermarket, I always seem to get them. The shopping trolleys that can't go straight. Everyone else seems to have one that you just push and it goes in a straight line. Mine's always wonky. No matter how hard you try, it always sort of veers off to the left or something. Because the wheels are wonky. Well, that's what iniquity is about. The Bible says that inside, we are bent and twisted. We always veer off course. We don't go God's way and we don't go to God. We veer away from God. And that's iniquity. Like sheep wandering away from a shepherd. Like runaways. And Jesus was wounded, it says here, wounded and pierced. He suffered and died for our transgressions, stepping over the line, and our iniquities, our bentness that makes us veer off from God. Because we treat God the way we do, God's Son volunteered to be treated the way he was on the cross. And as he hung there dying, God was pouring out on Christ all his angry punishment. That's what that word chastisement means. All his angry punishment at our transgressions and our iniquities. Just think of that. Just think about that. Just think about this week. A time when you overstepped the mark. Maybe you did something that your parents told you not to do. Maybe you told a lie when you know God says to tell the truth. Maybe you had a cruel thought about somebody because even though God says to love, you wanted to do it and you wanted to think it. And that's just this week. Transgressions or iniquities. You know, think of a time when you simply went off, maybe this week, a time you simply went off your own way as if God didn't even exist. You know, maybe you ignored him, maybe you just forgot him and acted as if he simply wasn't there. Maybe you shut your ears up to what you know he says because you didn't want to hear it. Iniquity. And that's just this week. And Jesus was punished with the punishment that all of those things that we've done deserve. In order to bring us peace, that's what it says, the chastisement that brought us peace. Peace with God. You see, we were his enemies, and now, through Jesus, we can be his friends. See, the disciples thought the day that God's king, the Christ, would come, would be a day when God's enemies bit the dust. And they would suffer, because let's face it, that's what they deserve. Whereas incredibly, when Christ came, it was the day when he suffered, so that God's enemies can become God's friends. Because Jesus bit the dust. That's why Christ had to die. That's why he had to suffer. It was certain. God planned it. And he planned it for our salvation. So what are we to do with that information? I want to suggest two things. Two really simple things as we celebrate Easter this weekend. First of all, don't be sad. Celebrate. Now, yes, perhaps we should feel a bit of sorrow, shouldn't we? And we should feel a sense of, that was my transgression and my iniquity that put him there. We should feel that. But you know what? The overriding thing is that Good Friday is a good day. It's a day for celebration. That first Good Friday when Christ suffered is something that we should celebrate. We should be happy about. The King won forgiveness for you and me. The King paid for all our transgressions and iniquities. The King made peace between you and me and God. Actually, as we come in a few moments to celebrate the Lord's Supper, that's a celebration. It's a party, and God is throwing it for you and for me. It's a moment when we live out what Christ's death for us has won. We pull up a chair at God's table with his forgiven family, and we eat with God. Don't be sad, celebrate. And don't be quiet, speak up. Jesus was opening his disciples' minds, our verses said. Opening their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Why? Because he wanted them to tell others. I think Tim will say more about that on Sunday. But the point here is that the disciples were to tell others, that tell the world, in fact, that the Christ had to suffer and why. Now, a lot of our country is having a holiday at this time, isn't it? This weekend. But think about it. Only we and our other brothers and sisters who are Christians know why. Everybody's having a weekend off, but we're the only ones that know the reason. Our Easters should be different, shouldn't they, from everyone else? Our family meals on Easter Sunday, when you get together with everyone, they should be different, shouldn't they? They should be marked by celebration and speaking out, because we know the reason why we're having a holiday. Jesus has opened our minds to understand he had to suffer. It was God's plan, and he did it to save us. So here's a question for us all to think about, just for a couple of minutes, and then a prayer will come up on the screen, and I'll lead us in saying it together. But first of all, this question, just spend a couple of minutes in quiet on your own, thinking about this. How will my Easter be different? Because I know Christ suffered to save me. And you know what, that might be something that you have discovered for the very, very first time. Let me suggest to you how your Easter will be different. Why don't you turn to Christ, come to him and say, yes, your death, I want that to be for me. Please forgive me. I was a wandering sheep, but I want to come back to God through you. Well, that's one way our Easters might be different. You think about that on your own now for 2 minutes, and we'll say a prayer together in a moment. A prayer appearing on the screen. Take a quick moment just to read through it, and then we'll say it together. Together then, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Thank you that by his wounds we have been healed. We know that we were wandering away from you like sheep, but now he has brought us back to you as our shepherd and overseer. Help us know and enjoy the forgiveness and peace Christ won for us. Open our mouths to praise him before our friends and neighbours. In his name, amen.